Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be taking a look at some of the amazing genealogy research that you've been doing, and it looks like you've uncovered some really fascinating stuff. So,
yeah, this is really quite something.
Yeah, get ready for some serious aha moments as we discover how genealogy is this incredible blend of rigorous research and artistic storytelling.
You know what I think is so cool about the materials that you sent in is how they show that genealogy isn't just about, like, names and dates. It's about weaving those dry facts into an actual story that makes your ancestors come alive.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's like being a detective of your own past.
I love that. Yeah. Speaking of detective work, one of the sources that you sent in dives into the importance of surnames, specifically locative surnames.
Yeah.
So what makes those so special?
Well, think of it this way. If your ancestor's name was like derived from a place like Farndale, right? You've got this amazing geographic anchor. Every time you stumble across Farndale in some old document, it could be a clue to your family's movements, their social standing, even what life was like for them in a particular village or region. Yeah. It's like this built-in filter for your research.
It makes so much sense. So it's not just about having an unusual name. It's about having a name that's tied to a specific place, which can help you connect to historical records more effectively.
Exactly. Mm. And your research also highlights something I find fascinating, which is like the three distinct eras of genealogical research.
Oh, okay. So let's unpack these eras. What makes each one unique?
Well, so the first era from 1560 to the present is like, it's like the golden age of genealogy for English history.
Yeah.
We have parish records, birth, marriage, and death certificates.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, census data. It's just this treasure trove of information.
So for this recent era, it's relatively straightforward to build a solid fact-based family tree because the records are just so abundant.
Yes, precisely. The standard of proof here is beyond a reasonable doubt. Just like in a courtroom, you want multiple records confirming the same information, like a birth certificate aligning with census data, leaving little room for error.
Okay, and then we jump back in time to 1200 to 1560. What changes in this era?
Well, fewer individual records survive, and surnames weren't used consistently like they are today.
Yeah.
So it's like putting together a puzzle with some missing pieces, but it's far from impossible.
Yeah, it sounds like you need to get creative with your research methods during this period.
You do. We have to rely more on the balance of probabilities. Like, for example, imagine you find a record that says, Robert, son of Simon the Miller of Farndale, caught poaching. Now, we might not have Robert's birth date or marriage details,
right?
But we can place him in a specific time and location, connect him to a family, and even get a little glimpse of his personality.
Yeah, sounds like a bit of a rebel.
Yeah, a bit of a rebel, maybe. Now, going even further back before 1200, tracing individual stories becomes much harder.
Yeah, I imagine without consistent surnames, it's nearly impossible to follow a specific family line that far back.
Yeah, you're right. But that doesn't mean the journey ends. Instead of focusing on individual ancestors, we shift our attention to the history of their location.
Okay.
Think about it. Even if we can't trace a specific person, we can learn about the village or region where they lived using historical and archaeological records to paint a broader picture of their world.
So we zoom out and look at the larger context, migration patterns, major events, social structures.
Yeah.
To get a sense of what life might have been like for our ancestors.
Exactly. And that's where understanding things like the Yorkshire lay subsidy of 1301 becomes really crucial.
No, I have to admit, I'm not familiar with that. What is a lay subsidy?
Basically, it was a tax record.
Oh.
In 1301, King Edward I needed money to fund his wars. So he commissioned this massive survey of like who owned what across England. It's an incredibly detailed snapshot of the population at that time, listing people's names, occupations, and even what they own.
So it's like a medieval census.
Exactly. And because it covers Farndale, if your ancestors were living there, their names could be right there in that record.
Wow.
Giving you a direct link to them.
That's incredible. It makes me realize that no matter which era you're researching, having that methodical approach is key.
Absolutely. It's like building a house, you know?
Yeah.
You need a strong foundation before you can start adding the walls and the roof.
Hmm.
Your source uses the term scaffolding to describe this process.
Okay. So what are the building blocks of this scaffolding? Where do we even begin?
Well, you start with the most solid, verifiable facts.
Right.
Those birth, marriage, and death certificates, census data, and even things like that lay subsidy record we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just like a builder wouldn't construct a house from the roof down, you work backward in time.
Okay, so if I'm starting my research today, I would begin with myself or a known relative and then work my way back generation by generation using those key records as my guide.
That's it. And luckily, with online resources like Ancestry, Find My Past, and Family Search, accessing these records is much easier than it used to be.
It's amazing. It's like having a digital archive at your fingertips. But it's important to remember that technology is just a tool, right? It's our ability to analyze and interpret that information that really unlocks those historical secrets. So we've laid the foundation, but how do you go beyond just the names and dates? How do you flesh out the story and bring your ancestors to life?
Well, that's where we move from the science of genealogy to the art of storytelling. And that's exactly what we'll be diving into next. You know, it's like we're adding layers of paint to a portrait. First, we sketch the basic outline, then we start filling in the details, the light and shadow, texture, the color that makes the subject come alive.
Oh, I love that analogy. So, what are some of these artistic tools we can use to add those layers of depth to our family history?
Well, your research points to some fantastic resources. One of the most insightful, I think, are wills and probate records.
Okay, so why are wills so valuable? What kind of information can they reveal?
Oh, wills are amazing. They can offer this window into an ancestor's personality, their values, even their quirks. Think about it. What you choose to leave behind says a lot about who you are and what you cared about.
Yeah, it's like a message from the past, a glimpse into their inner thoughts and feelings.
And sometimes those messages can be incredibly vivid. You mentioned finding information about Richard Farndale's armory from the 14th century.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine uncovering a will like that?
It'd be like holding a piece of history in your hands. Suddenly, this Richard Farndale isn't just a name on a page, he's a real person, perhaps a knight or a soldier, with a life full of adventure.
Yeah, it's those tangible details that bring the past to life. And speaking of tangible connections, your research also mentions the power of military records.
Yes. It seems like military records could offer a lot more than just names and dates of service. What kind of details might we find there?
Military records can be absolute gold mines. They often include physical descriptions, information about where someone served, and even accounts of their wartime experiences.
Yeah.
Imagine discovering that your great-grandfather fought in a particular battle. You
Right.
could then research that battle, learn about the conditions he faced, and perhaps even find his name mentioned in like regimental diaries or historical accounts.
Wow, you can practically trace his footsteps through history.
And speaking of tracing footsteps, emigration records can be incredibly revealing.
Oh, yes. I remember reading about the possibility of finding passenger lists from ships. It must be amazing to discover the exact ship your ancestor sailed on to reach a new land.
It's like stepping onto the deck with them, you know? Feeling the excitement and apprehension of starting a new life. And think about the historical context you could add. Imagine finding out your ancestors arrived like right around the same time as a major historical event, like the Titanic sinking.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It would add a whole new layer of intrigue to their story. It makes me realize that even records that might seem dry at first, like tax records, could actually offer some pretty fascinating insights.
Oh, absolutely. Tax records can tell us so much about an ancestor's economic status and social standing within their community. You mentioned the Yorkshire Lay Subsidy of 1301. That tax record that lists everyone living in Farndale at that time, their occupations, and what they owned.
Right. That's the one that could potentially link directly to my ancestors if they were living in Farndale. Makes you wonder, were they wealthy landowners or struggling farmers? What kind of lives did they lead?
And those records can offer clues about the relationships with others in the village. Were they paying their fair share or trying to get away with something?
That's a good point. You never know what kind of secrets those old tax records might reveal. Okay, so we got wills, military records, emigration records, and tax records. What else can we use to bring our ancestors' stories to life?
Well, we can't forget about the power of newspapers.
All right.
Think of newspapers as like the social media of their day.
Oh.
They can offer these amazing glimpses into your ancestors' everyday life, birth announcements, marriage notices, even reports of local scandals and obituaries. They're like mini biographies, sometimes revealing amazing details about a person's accomplishments, passions, and impact on their community.
It's amazing to think that you could find a story about your great-great-grandmother in a 100-year-old newspaper.
I know, right?
And with online archives, it's probably easier than ever to search for those hidden gems.
It is, but a word of caution. Okay. It's best to like hold back on those newspaper deep dives until you've got a really solid foundation for your family tree. Otherwise, you might find yourself overwhelmed with information and unsure who those newspaper clippings actually refer to.
That makes sense. You need a framework to hang those stories on. Otherwise, they're just floating out there in the ether.
Exactly. Now let's imagine you've been diligently researching and you've amassed this incredible collection of records. Birth certificates, wills, military documents, newspaper clippings. You've got names, dates, stories, even a few juicy scandals.
Sounds exciting, but also a little overwhelming.
Right.
How do you keep track of all this information? I can't imagine trying to organize all that in my head.
Well, that's where organization comes in. You need a system to manage all those names, dates, and connections.
So what kind of system are we talking about?
Well, your research mentions some great strategies. Spreadsheets, for example, are incredibly helpful for organizing large amounts of data.
Okay, so I could create a spreadsheet with columns for each individual listing their birth and death dates, occupations, locations, family connections, even notes about unresolved questions or areas for further research.
That's a great start. And once you've got all that information in one place, you can start sorting and filtering it in different ways, looking for patterns, spotting connections, and uncovering new avenues for exploration.
It's like having a digital family tree that you can manipulate and explore in different ways.
Exactly. And to make those connections even more powerful, think about using hyperlinks.
Hyperlinks, like in a website.
Yes. Imagine creating a digital family history where each individual has their own, like, dedicated page linked to the pages of their parents, spouses, and children.
So you could start with your own direct lineage and then branch out to explore the stories of aunts, uncles, cousins, even those distant relatives you've never met.
Exactly. You could spend hours, days, even years following those digital threads, discovering new stories and connections along the way.
It sounds like an endless adventure. But at some point, you have to step away from the computer.
Right.
All this digital research, it's amazing, but it can also feel a little distant.
You're absolutely right. And that's where venturing out into the real world can add a whole new dimension to your research. Your sources emphasize the importance of experiencing history firsthand, visiting local history museums, exploring the villages and towns where your ancestors lived, even reading historical novels set in those times and places.
It's like stepping into a time machine.
Exactly. Imagine walking the same streets your ancestors walked. Seeing the landscapes they saw, getting a feel for the sights, sounds, even the smells of their everyday lives. It's about immersing yourself in the atmosphere of the past, connecting with their world on a sensory level.
It sounds incredible. And it makes me think of those historical novels you mentioned. Are there any particular authors or works that you find particularly helpful in providing that immersive experience?
Oh, absolutely. Authors like Thomas Hardy, Charles Dickens, George Eliot, they transport us back to different eras, painting vivid pictures of social customs, daily challenges, and the overall atmosphere of life in those times. And for a glimpse into rural English life, you can't go wrong with Flora Thompson or Laurie Lee.
Okay, I'm adding those to my reading list right now. So we've gone from building the scaffolding of our family tree to adding those artistic flourishes that bring our ancestors to life. It's been an incredible journey. But I have to ask, what's the point of all this digging and discovery? Why does it matter?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? It's like we've assembled this incredible puzzle, but what's the picture on the box? What does it all mean?
Yeah, exactly. Why should we care about these long-gone people? What relevance do their lives have for us today?
Well, I think it's multifaceted. On a personal level, genealogy can give you this profound sense of belonging, a connection to something larger than yourself. You know, it can illuminate your own identity, your values, your quirks, maybe even explain those family traditions that have been passed down for generations.
Yeah, it's like suddenly understanding why you have a passion for baking or an aversion to heights. Maybe it's in your genes.
Yeah, it could be. And on a broader level, genealogy humanizes history. It reminds us that history isn't just about like dates and battles. It's about real people living their lives, facing their own unique challenges, and shaping the world we live in today.
It's like taking those black and white photos from the history books and suddenly seeing them in full color, you
Yeah.
know, bursting with life and personality.
That's a great way to put it. And in a world that can feel increasingly divided, genealogy offers this powerful reminder of our shared humanity. It emphasizes the interconnectedness of all people, regardless of background or beliefs.
It's like tracing the threads of a giant tapestry back to their common origin. realizing that we're all part of this intricate and beautiful design.
Beautifully said. So to answer your question about why it matters, genealogy connects us to our past, our present, and ultimately to each other. It's a journey of self-discovery, historical exploration, and human connection.
It's a journey that I think everyone should take. We've covered so much in this deep dive, from the meticulous research methods to the artistic touches that breathe life into our ancestors' stories. And it feels like we've only just scratched the surface.
You're right, there's always more to uncover. But now that you have these tools and techniques, what aspect of your family history are you most curious about? What mysteries are you burning to solve?
Well, stories are just waiting to be told. We encourage you to keep digging, keep exploring, and keep asking questions. You never know what incredible discoveries you might make. Maybe you'll find a connection to a historical event, uncover a long-lost family secret, or simply gain a deeper appreciation for the lives of those who came before you.
And when you do make those discoveries, we'd love to hear about them. Until then, happy researching.